Chapter 2. Thank you, Debbie.
This morning we're reading from Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
We've been singing, as we do, lots of Christmas carols and songs over this Christmas season. I was talking about some of the sounds that we hear at Christmas and some of the things that resonate with us. There's not only the carol services, but also there's some of the more modern songs that hit the charts and have a different take on the Christmas story, if the story at all is sung about. But there is one song in particular, which whenever I hear it, I think this is pretty weird. This is probably the scariest Christmas song that I think is going. So I want to play it to you. Hope I'll be able to play it to you. And hopefully you will see what I mean when I tell you it is such a scary and weird Christmas song. Don't let the fact that it's being sung by Michael Bublé have any bearing upon that. But let's try and see if we can have a listen and see the lyrics to this weird song. Can you hear that at all?
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I am telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Make a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming out of town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I am telling you why, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town.
Now, we'll miss the musical break there. Do you see what I mean? When you think about it, this is a pretty weird song that we're telling the kids. You'd better watch out, you'd better not cry. It's assuming that that's going to be a possibility, that as children are thinking about Santa Claus coming to visit them, the songwriter is saying, don't cry, you better not cry, don't pout. And then I sort of get the idea of why that is, because the songwriter is telling us that Santa Claus is coming to town. That's good. And he has presents with him. And that seems to be great. That's good news. But the trouble is, this character seems to reward you according to what you've done. So it says, he sees when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Whoa. And I'm being told that I need to be good to get my presents from Santa. And Santa knows everything that I'm doing. Now, that just is getting pretty scary. And then it continues. He's making a list. And the thing is, he's not just making a list of all the bad things and maybe good things that you've done, but he's even checking it twice. This guy is thorough in terms of trying to discover what you have done. And he knows if you've been bad. And if that means I'm not going to get any presents, that is a bit freaky. That is a bit worrying if I've scored so low, because he knows all about me. He's looking, he's making this list. And, oh, I could be very sad, because if I've been bad, then it would seem from what the song is saying that I'm not going to get any presents. I'm not going to get any gifts. But equally, I could have been good. It seems to have the suggestion that if I get good marks, if I'm a good person, then I'm going to get presents. Of course, this is the problem. How do we work out who's naughty or nice? Because that's what he said. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Now, I tell you, I had some hard work trying to work out pictures of who I was going to use to represent naughty and nice that the kids would know. And I wouldn't offend anyone. Now, kids, you probably don't know the naughty person on the left-hand side. His name is Adolf Hitler. He was responsible for a terrible war in which many people were killed. A wicked, wicked person. So I'm saying I reckon he's on the naughty side. Okay, so we've got him. It's difficult to think. Well, actually, it's not that difficult to think of other people, sadly, who are as bad as that. There have been lots of bad people, wicked people in this world. And then on the other side, nice, I was thinking, who could I have that would represent nice? Now, does anyone recognize? It's a slightly old picture. Does anyone recognize who that is on the right-hand side? Yeah, Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger, who worked in Hong Kong, worked in the walled city, did an amazing work showing love and compassion and sharing Jesus, particularly with those who had some drug dependency issues and saw God at work. Wonderful. Who is still alive today? Jackie is still alive. I think she's living somewhere in the New Territories. But what a lovely, godly woman. So I thought we would have Adolf Hitler on one side, the wicked, the evil person, and we'd have Jackie Pullinger on the other side. Now, the question is, what side of the divide are you on? Are you on the naughty side? Are you on the nice side? Which of these two areas do you think you're going to be on? I think mums and dads here are having a discussion with their opinion of what side they think their children are on. I think when we are drawing that line, this is where most people think they are. Yeah, don't you think if I'm talking to you here and you're thinking now, which side of the line am I on? You've probably gone, I'm not as bad as Adolf Hitler, and I'm maybe not as good as Jackie Pullinger, but I'm that side of the line. Yeah, I'm good enough to get a present from Santa because I'm in the nice category. Well, I wonder if we were to go by someone else's standards, where that line would go. So let's just see where the line would go here if we're judging by someone else's standards. Oh, even past Jackie Pullinger, that when we are going by the standards of an infinitely holy and righteous God, whoever we are here this morning, we're in the naughty category, not in the nice, not in the good category. We may say, oh, there are many people worse than me. Yeah, that's true. But none of us are able to live that sort of life which is entirely pleasing to God, the living God, in every way. We have failed. And that is why Christmas is such good news. That's why we celebrate the birth of this baby. And we celebrate the birth of this baby because, as the shepherds were told, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. God entered our time and space in human flesh to rescue undeserving people and save them and rescue them and make them clean and give them a new start and a new hope and a new life and a new future. A Savior has been born to you. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. That's why Christians get really excited about it. It's not just because, hey, it's a nice time for giving presents. It is far, far, far more than that. It is celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, entered our time and space. Look, my studies, my undergraduate studies were in history. I know what history is. And I tell you, no serious historian has ever doubted the historicity of the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ really came to this world and really went and died on a cross. You see, you may say, well, here's my life. If I'm looking at my life, if I'm judging my life, you may say, well, I get 3 out of 10. Andy, you're right. I've messed up. And probably there are some folks here, and you at the moment feel just like that. You would say, I feel like I'm a 3 out of 100, if that. I've messed up in so many ways. Andy, if you really knew me, here I am, I'm sitting with a smile on my face, but Andy, if you knew me, oh, Andy, I've done so much wrong. I thought so much wrong. Andy, I'm a 3 out of 100. But maybe there are other people. You see, 3 out of 100 doesn't pass. But there are other people here, and they say, Andy, oh, I'm a good person. And if you knew me, if you saw what I do, and I go to church, and I give money to charity, and I even open doors for strangers, and I'm really kind, and I'm really nice. Andy, I'm a 99 out of 100. I'm in the good category, aren't I? I'm in the righteous category, aren't I? No, because that's not the standard. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone, every single one of us is not deserving of the grace and goodness of God. You may be the most religious person here. You may think that the way to know God is by doing religious stuff. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned. We have all failed. And look, here I'm talking more to the mums and dads than I am to the children. Mums and dads, you get this more than the kids, and not just mums and dads, every single one of us here. Married, single, divorced, widow, every single one of us here knows we've failed. If we're really honest with ourselves, we've failed, we've messed up. And the Bible says, yeah, that's right, for all have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And in fact, that is the very reason why that Jesus Christ came into this world. He said some wonderful things. We can read about it in the 4 Gospels. He said some wonderful things, incredible things, things that tower above all other works of literature that we read. But he not only said some wonderful things, he did some wonderful things. The record is there of how he performed miracles. And he raised the dead, and he made the blind see, and the lame to dance, and stuff like that. The deaf heard. Oh, amazing. God in human flesh, living in complete obedience to God, the one who is perfectly righteous. He was able to say, which of you can convict me of sin? He was able to say to those friends who had been traveling with him for 3 years, you know, can one of you say I've done something wrong? They couldn't. He was God, the righteous one, living amongst us. And he did it not to give us an example, but primarily to go and die, deliberately go and die on a cross. This was God's plan, which God had been pointing forward to since the beginning of time. If you read your Bible, this wonderful plan of salvation is there. This isn't just something that we've made up. But rather, when you take the Bible seriously, you see this is the very plan that God had to rescue sinners. And the Bible declares that on that cross, Jesus Christ, who was the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God, died on a cross. And as he was dying on the cross, God placed upon him the sins, the failures, the rebellions, the screw-ups of people like me and people like you. And God dealt with Jesus as he should deal with a failure like me. And Jesus suffered my hell, and he suffered my separation. He suffered my punishment so that I might be given in exchange his righteousness, his holiness, his acceptable standing before God. You see, let's try and summarize whoever we are. None of us here live holy lives which can say to a holy God, here, accept me. We've failed. God is holy and God is just. He cannot turn a blind eye to sin. You would hate that in any judicial system. If someone is not getting justice, you'd say, that's wrong. We've failed. And whatever our past mark, we've failed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful thing that we declare and that we celebrate is that God doesn't deal with us according to what we've done and how we've screwed up and fouled up. But God deals with us according to his amazing grace and mercy. And the Bible tells us that there on that cross, Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ showed the love of God by taking upon himself the sin and the rebellion of failures like me, like you. And that it's through faith in him that we can know a start. That's why we give gifts at Christmas. It's part of what we do, because it is remembering the greatest gift giver of all, that Jesus Christ was given for us. The Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the wonderful good news of Christmas. And for many of us here, we've come to know and love this Jesus. And he's changed our lives around. We're not religious people. I hate religion. But I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. I have entrusted my cause to him entirely. I've thrown myself upon him for his mercy. And I have known his grace and his forgiveness and his help and his new beginning. And the Bible says that happens to all who receive that gift that there is in Christ, who repent of their sin, who throw themselves upon him and his mercy. And that's my hope for you, even this Christmas, that the greatest gift of all will become your gift, and that you would know a joy which is unparalleled, knowing that you are right with God, knowing that his love is shining down upon you, knowing that he couldn't love you more than he does, knowing that he couldn't love you less than he does. This is the wonderful gospel invitation. And if as yet you have not responded to that, I would plead with you, even on this day, this Christmas day, celebrating the birth of a Savior, that you think about this Jesus, where you stand before him, and more than that, where you stand before God, that you might know his forgiveness, that you might know his grace, that you might know his help. We're going to sing a song as we bring our time to a close, as with gladness, men of old, just as these men of old, these magi, went to see the Christ child and brought him gifts. Let's bring our gifts, let's bring ourselves to him. We'll stand and sing together.